here at the library at Kansas City downtown. Topics of discussion tonight have been ranging outside of the realm of computers, actually. It's an example of the kind of people that you get when you come to the meeting. They are able to talk about a variety of subjects and have a wealth of knowledge. In a while, we'll be talking to Rod Holcomb. He will be telling us a little bit about his knowledge of the Linux operating system. Just to give the address out, it's www.kclug.org/8000 for your port, /live/live. And, of course, the website is kclug.org if you'd like information on the group itself. So I'm Mike Needham, and I'm filling in again for Craig Martin. Thought I'd talk a little bit about my background to start us out. Basically, I've been doing computers for the last 15 years, and I am currently a Macintosh programmer. Don't hold that against me. It's FreeBSD under the hood. So we do get into Linux, and it's basically you get all your Unix admin skills do carry over, believe it or not, because Macintosh is now a Unix also. I've been playing with Linux, specifically SUSE 9.3. And like the operating system, I like personally the KDE environment, but that's one of the beauties of Linux is that you can configure it however you like. I'm more of a casual user of Linux than a admin. Yay, we have Sky Thompson. Sky Thompson is one of my friends for a long time, maybe not after tonight, but we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
How are you tonight, Sky?
All right.
Tell the public a little bit about your background with Unix in general.
Oh, I use a Mac.
Well, it's still a Unix, like we just said, yes.
Yes. Based on, what is it, FreeBSD?
It's FreeBSD under the hood.
Okay. Here, hang on a second. I'll scoot closer so we can do this a little better. A
little bit of background here shows the impromptu-ness of the situation tonight. Whoa.
Oops.
So I've seen some pretty cool things done on the actual command line side for the Macintosh. You can talk a little bit maybe about some of the things you've done there. Because it does have a command line, contrary again to popular belief.
Well, I try to avoid that as much as possible.
Well, I was talking to a Unix admin once, and this is one of those, you know, would you care to agree or disagree with the statement questions. But I was talking to a Unix admin once, and he said the best thing about the Macintosh operating system as it stands today is that it actually gives him the ability to not only have his Unix environment, but also to have abilities to use Microsoft Word, Photoshop, and your general range of programs that you normally can't use on a Unix environment.
Right. That makes sense.
So he liked it from that standpoint, as he didn't have to have, you know, four machines on the desktop.
Well,
yeah.
I wasn't a big fan of DOS in the first place, so.
Now, there's an interesting OS.
No, actually, the command line has a lot of uses.
Mm-hmm.
I use mainly front-end programs.
Okay.
So that I can just quick check boxes. And
right.
Hit a button and walk away.
I think what's important to point out at that point is that under our pretty check boxes and so forth, it's actually
a command line.
Right. It's actually invoking a script of some kind.
Right.
So.
Which, it saves me the hassle of having to learn how to write that script myself.
Right.
Because as far as I'm concerned, you should basically plug it in, turn it on, and it should work.
Yeah, that was the general idea.
Shouldn't have to dink
that
with it, shouldn't have to mess with it. But at the same time, it's good to know that that ability is there,
mm-hmm.
should we need it.
Right. They've kind of made it.
I haven't needed it, but it's good to know it's there.
So they basically made it so that anybody can use it to their, you know, sculpt it to their way.
Yes.
You know, so.
As a matter of fact, on a similar note, I'm currently setting up a PC for my daughter to use, who's 11 now.
Right.
And she's probably going to end up with it's an old Pentium 2 system.
Yep.
But she's going to end up with, it's looking like PC Linux OS.
Okay. And you might want to talk to the listeners about PC Linux, because it's a kind of a new distro.
I've only played with it a little bit. I've got the live CD version of it. It boots. Everything runs just fine. It has, if I'm remembering correctly, it has options when you download it for different, for ATI video or NVIDIA video.
Right.
So that you have your full 3D support as it boots.
Right.
And
not necessarily having to have the knowledge to add those drivers later.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. And what she's probably going to end up with is a very fast CD drive only.
Right.
Which will continue to be booted from the CD, the live CD.
Right.
With a small hard drive that she can anchor all her homework, whatever, to. That eliminates a lot of the issues that might arise with things being deleted that shouldn't be.
Yeah, yeah.
Although she'll be logged in as a guest.
Right.
So she won't really be able to do a whole lot. That's the nice thing about Linux.
But she'll still be able to perform her function.
She'll be able to do everything she needs to.
Right.
But she won't be able to, say, delete the kernel. Or related.
Yeah, deleting the kernel is bad. It's a general rule.
Well, I've seen Windows machines that have been irretrievably hosed because someone was able to get in two files they shouldn't have,
right,
and completely just delete or move or rename,
right,
and since you didn't know what those files were, especially the ones that were renamed or the ones that were deleted even,
right,
the next time the machine gets booted up,
yeah,
it's okay.
The famous DLL disappearing act that happens as well on the Windows side.
It's time to reinstall Windows. That's what I really like about Linux. You install it and you don't have to mess with it.
Right.
I mean, if you want to get under the hood and make all kinds of tweaks, you can. But if you don't, they generally work well enough.
Right.
You don't have to.
I think that that's one of the key issues is security. If you're talking about security in a general way, you're the administrator of, I don't know, two machines. It can be a headache for one guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if those two machines happen to be Windows, believe me, you're working a little harder than, you know, the guy that's running the two Linux boxes or other Unix boxes.
Right.
Because the users basically on the Windows side get a dialogue, you know, show me these files, okay. You know, I mean,
yeah. But like I said, she'll be using it to play games and do homework.
Right.
So I figure if I can convince her to leave it on all the time, and we can set up the power saver features appropriately, we'll never have to worry about rebooting.
Right.
And hopefully I won't ever have to mess with it again. Because I figure CD-ROM drive, maybe a DVD drive underneath it that you can use for DVD, watching movies or listening to music or whatever. Kind of small, say, 500 meg hard drive I've got laying around.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of nice, too, to be able to furnish a system for your daughter, you know, based on the spare parts you have lying around because of Linux.
Exactly. I mean, the I've loaded various versions of Windows onto this motherboard.
Right.
And 98 second edition was the last thing that would run reasonably well on it. Anything above that is just, you're out of luck.
This was a Pentium 2, just for the people that might be joining in.
Yes, Pentium 2, 333 with 190-something megs of RAM.
Plenty for Linux, plenty.
It makes,
plenty.
It makes
yes.
More sense if you see that.
So, again, for those of you joining us down the line, I'm Mike Needham, and I'm kind of filling in for Craig Martin tonight and doing as best a job as we can possibly do. You can tune in as well by going to www.kclug.org/8000/live. And I'm talking with Sky Thompson about very general basic things about Linux and the machines they run on.
Okay. Well, other than that, that's about all I do.
Yeah. Welcome to the new users group. This is that's what we're at here. Both Sky and I on the Linux side would have to plead some ignorance, but that's why we come, is to gain some more knowledge from those that know more than us.
Yep.
And that's the whole point.
Plus, for anybody out there listening that would be interested in attending the meetings, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Linux isn't the only thing that we talk about.
Yes, like we were discussing earlier.
Motorcycles.
Motorcycles, butchering of the English language, such as to whiten something is to withen.
Yes.
<You know? laughs> So,
a reporter interviewed my wife for about an hour for TV.
And we're having discussions about broadcasting and behind us.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Yes. Which we're attempting, you know, to do here is to bring you a quality internet broadcast. So,
well, I don't know if the listeners out there know exactly what we're using, but it looks like we're using a Nicecast broadcast.
Yes, it's Nicecast. It's by a company called Rogue Amiga, and it's the Mac equivalent to running a Shoutcast-based server. I think it's Icecast underneath the hood, actually.
And it looks like a Eurorack MX.
Yeah.
602A is our mixing board. Which,
yeah. What you got is a
pretty nice little machine there.
A medium-powered Macintosh running with a small mixer, and you've got your full internet studio.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Couple of mics.
I mean, actually, three of them.
There's three of them right in a row. That's correct. And our producer is also named Mike.
But I'm looking at the Apple PowerBook. It's G4.
Mm-hmm.
What's your processor speed on this? So it's a 1 gig.
Yeah, it's an older G4 PowerBook. One gig.
And a gig of RAM too?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, so basically, I could take my iBook,
yes,
which is basically the same configuration. I don't have that much RAM. But
you don't need that much if you're just going to run Nicecast.
Well, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, I mean,
it's good to know.
Yeah. However, it's a nice thing to have. The more RAM you have, the happier it is. It's
yes.
Like anything else.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I am impressed. And what is the retail cost of Nicecast?
Well, if you buy it from Rogue Amiga, I'm going purely from memory here. It's $69.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad at all. And a small mixer like this would be
probably about, you could probably get into it for less than $200. You know,
so
say that pretty definitively.
A very small amount of capital outlay and a decent web internet service provider.
Yes. Well, you do need a pretty good band, you know, at least cable to go out with it if you're going to be a broadcaster.
So in other words, if somebody had a, say, cable internet access at home.
Right.
And wanted to just have all kinds of fun.
Yeah.
Or perhaps stream, well, they wouldn't be able to stream their iTunes collection. They'd get in trouble with somebody for
they
that.
Would, as long as they pay the proper royalties. I'll say that right now.
Well, there's the rub with that one.
Right.
But still, if you just wanted to get together and talk about whatever.
Yeah.
And share it with whoever's interested in listening.
That's right. That's what we do here, and it's a great outlet for this user group. So, I think it's interesting to note, as we were getting at, probably $500 and you have yourself a studio.
Yep.
You know, now you're not going to get your best microphones at that cost, but, you know.
Well, you don't really need the best microphone in the world for it.
That's true. It all depends on that little bandwidth, you know, the bit rate
right.
that you're
going to
broadcast out at. What
right.
kind of sound quality do we want? But the best going in will still get you, you know, where you want to go.
Right. Oh, that's pretty neat.
The nice thing is that Nicecast does support this kind of live broadcast situation, whereas other solutions would just take, like, a recorded item and
oh, really?
Broadcast it or stream it.
I was not aware of that.
Right. So it's a very nice program for a very
useful
program. That's a good way to put it. And it's not a lot of cost.
And it doesn't look terribly difficult to use.
Support your shareware authors.
Or as some people would say, utilize.
Yeah. Utilize, yes. I think we were talking about that. Utilization of the word utilize can be overdone.
Exactly.
But yeah, Nicecast, they give you 30 days to try it for free, so you can even get into it before you buy it, you know, and see what all it does, because it's not limited other than it gives you nag screens when it starts up.
I've got to ask him a question real quick.
Go for it.
Is this something we should be concerned about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Question is, are we on the air?
Well, it says our state is skipping. Personally, I'm sitting.
Well, no, we're not skipping, that's for sure.
Admin for the club server now, and he's going to look into the problem. Might say we're having a little technical difficulty.
We appear to be having some technical difficulty, but we should hopefully be back soon. I've already downloaded all my Apple updates.
Yeah. For those of you listening, he's talking about the Aqua GUI, the updates that you would normally have to install yourself from Linux are automatically handled by Apple if you buy that OS.
Yep, you can schedule it or you can do it manually, but either way.
Or you can choose not to ever move it at all.
Yeah, that's true, but I have yet to run across an update that was detrimental to the well-being of my laptop.
Yeah, and I've seen the same response. So probably have to reboot, so we're sorry about the technical issues, but we will be back as soon as we can.